Righto, from JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, very good morning to you.
Yeah, very good morning, Mike.
Probably needed a microscope, but they did in Australia find a little bit of growth there.
There was a little bit of growth, so we've cast our eye across the Tasman this morning. Their latest report on growth over there is for the second quarter. So we're looking at this ahead of our second quarter growth release on the 19th of September. Yep, plus 0.2% growth for the second quarter in the lucky country. Annual growth at 1%. That's a slowdown from the 1.3% annual growth that they recorded to the first quarter of 2024. And, you know, cue the hand-wringing and the gnashing of teeth over there is, you know, it's being reported as anemic and very soft, but, you know, call me cynical in my aging years, but at least it's got a positive number in front of it, hasn't it? Well,
yep.
We're expecting a negative number for our second quarter growth here. Now, discount, but look, it is soft from a comparative point of view, because discounting the pandemic period, that's the slowest rate of growth for Australia since the early 90s recession. And of course, they've pushed interest rates up over there to try and combat inflation as well, and it's worked to sort of slow the economy. But they didn't push interest rates up to the same degree that we saw here. They have got this issue on a per capita basis, though. They've now had six consecutive quarters of negative growth on a per capita basis. They had quite high migration over there as well, so more people. Look, a big surprise in the numbers, Mike, was the weakness of the consumer. Consumer spending declined 0.2% in the June quarter. That's the biggest quarterly decline outside of COVID since the GFC. So much of the growth over there, the fact that they did get positive growth, was driven by three things I'm seeing it attributed to: government spending, increased government spending, foreign students and tourism visitors. So you've got a divergence in Australia between the public and the private sector. The private sector was a negative contributor to growth, but strength in the public sector offset that. Now just think about those three factors and compare them to here, Mike. They've got increased government spending. Well, our government's trying to spend less. They're foreign students. Well, foreign students have been slow to return here, and our tourism rebound is sort of is stalling a bit. So we're sort of quite different on those three factors. Government spending Australia is now at a record share of the Aussie economy, 27.3% of GDP. Back in 2021, it was 27.1. So the government's getting in there, holding the economy up. They've had a whole bunch of collective bargaining as well agreements, which have pushed public sector wages up. So that's aided spending. And next quarter, they could get a boost from cost of living measures, which were announced in their budget, which come into effect in the second quarter. So look, we'll get our comparison on the 19th. So we wait eagerly. We eagerly anticipate that number, Mike.
No, we don't, because it'll be negative. But and then we have the debate over Q3. Anyway, so because of the Labor weekend, so we got our first big, and you alluded to this yesterday, September's an interesting time for the markets in America. So what do we get day one?
Yeah, so this is what's called the September effect. So yeah, the first day of trading, because they had Labor Day off, was an absolute shocker. You know, the Nasdaq gave up over 3% and big falls in the S&P 500 and the S&P 500 Dow Jones as well. So very negative start to September trading, and we get the sort of all this talk about, oh well, it's September. September is, look, and I haven't sort of corroborated this number, but September is sort of recognised as being the only calendar month to average a negative return if you look at data going back over, you know, almost 100 years. But you've got to be careful with averages, don't you? Because obviously it doesn't mean that every September is negative. I also think we should point out that the US share market does perform better in September's leading into a US presidential election. Of what have we got this year? We've got a US presidential election. But you have these big anomalies when September's been terrible. You know, 1931 share market crash, 2008 share market crash, and people remember that stuff. Stoking the potential negative mood at the moment, all these recession fears, and you had quite a bit of data overnight, all data right now has the potential to shift the animal spirits. You know, we got the first of the labor numbers. I think you referred to this before, the jolts, the job opening numbers, a little bit weaker than expected. Fewer job openings means a weaker labor market. But offsetting that overnight, you had durable goods orders, factories, they held up. Now, at just about 10 or 20 minutes ago, they had the release of the beige book, cunningly called because it's always beige. But that reports on all the different Fed districts. There's a lot of data in there. Haven't had time to look through that yet. And the US share market at the moment, it was holding up. It's just weakening off a little bit as we speak. But I think once people digest that beige book, we might get a bit more direction there.
Okay, what are the other numbers?
Well, so yeah, Dow Jones is down 54 points, so it's a 0.13%. It's not a huge fall. The S&P 500 at 5516, it's down just under 0.25%, and the Nasdaq holding up only down 24 points at 17,111. Now, the FTSE 100, 8269 overnight, down about 0.33%. The Nikkei, though, had a shocker. It was down over 4%. Lots of semiconductor stress over in Asia as well. 37,047 was the mark there. Shanghai Composite down 19,2784. The Aussies yesterday lost almost 2%, so big fall there, down 153 points, 7,950. But we held up pretty well. We were up 19 points in the NZX 50, 12,553. Kiwi dollar against the US, 0.6192, 0.9233 against the Aussie, 0.5594 euro, 0.4715 against the pound, 89.19 Japanese yen. Gold, $2,493, and Brent crude still under a bit of pressure, Mike. $72.87 with the strong Kiwi. We should see petrol pump prices sort of moderating a little at some point.
Let us hope so, and we'll see you tomorrow, Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz.